Good morning. As was mentioned, the elders are going to be presenting a report to the congregation this morning about the work of the church here. And I'm going to introduce that topic, that theme with you for a few minutes, and then Daryl's going to get up and do the bulk of the work this morning. And then I'll follow at the end with the Lord's invitation. The Lord knows that we are stronger together than we are alone. And he also knows that in order for us to be conformed to the image of his son, we must become servants. And so you think about at least those two concepts in regard to the body of Christ and how we are all together as one in the body of Christ. We would not be together. I probably wouldn't know any of you if it weren't for our common faith in Christ. We're united together in fellowship through our love of God because he loved us. And our faith that we share together strengthens one another. And we learn in the body of Christ how to be servants. And so each one of us, in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27, individually is a member of the body of Christ. And in this context, in 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to turn there, in verse 21 in particular, the mentioning there by Paul of the value and importance of each and every member in the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. He's talking about the physical body as a metaphor for the body of Christ. Individually, we're members of the body. Each and every one of us is important in the body of Christ. And sometimes I think people miss that point, or at least they don't dwell on that point enough. They don't think about that enough to realize just how valuable and important they are. There was a letter written by Justin Martyr back in the second century about a brother who had fallen away from the Lord. And Justin Martyr, in writing that letter, talked about how this man had wounded the body of Christ and that he needed to come back to heal the wound. And I like that concept that he was presenting there. That person was important to the body of Christ. That person was valuable and important. And him falling away and moving away was a wound to the body. And that's the way we feel about each other. We value each other very highly in the body of Christ. We all have different abilities, different strengths, different functions, different opportunities, as Greg was talking about, opportunities to contribute in service to the building up of the body of Christ. And each and every one of us is extremely important in that. And so, as an elder here in this congregation, I know Daryl feels the same way. We see our role simply as servants here of the body and not as more important or more valuable or more useful than you individually. And we think about that a lot. We think about the importance and value of each and every member of this body. And what we're trying to do as leaders here is trying to encourage you to actively participate in that work because that's what God wants. That's what strengthens the body and that's what strengthens you. And that's how we become involved and we become unified together with one another by our service. And so that's our theme this year. It fits very well with what we're trying to emphasize, that we were created for good works. Those good works are connected with building up the body of Christ for the most part, or bringing people into the body of Christ, which to me is the same thing. Building up the body of Christ means adding to it numerically and also strengthening it in faith and growth in spiritual maturity. And so we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So our emphasis is on each one of us doing good works to build up the body of Christ. Put Romans 2 and verse 6 through 8 on there. I mentioned that in a sermon a couple of weeks ago. The importance of understanding that each one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat of God for the works that we have done in the body. And if we have sought after eternal life, we've sought after doing good, then we'll be rewarded with eternal life. And that's manifested by the works that we do, the doing good that we do, manifests what's in the heart. And so God looks at that in judgment. He looks at not that we're you know, somebody did this many more works than somebody else. He looks at the heart of someone who wants to and is seeking to do good, to build up the body of Christ. We're going to be judged on that basis by God. And so each one of us will stand individually before God, and I hope that each one of us recognizes just how important it is for us to be seeking to do good. And so that brings me to my next point, the last point that I want to make this morning. This is a slide you've seen a few times, just emphasizing the one another passages, and there's only a few listed here. But each one of us can be looking at fulfilling these one another passages as we look out amongst ourselves. How are we serving? How can we serve? How can we build up the body of Christ? We can encourage, we can be accountable, we can strengthen, we can challenge, and so on. We can be kind, we can be an example. But I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 with me, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and verse 4 in particular. This passage is about the contribution for the relief of the needy saints. Paul had encouraged the churches of Galatia to do so, and Macedonia now is being encouraged. Corinth is one of the cities in Macedonia, to provide financial help and relief and support for the needy saints in Jerusalem in particular that are undergoing famine. And so he says, "We want you to know, brothers, verse 1, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in wealth, in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us." And he goes on and talks about the abundance of their generosity. But I want you to notice the phrase, "begging us," in verse 4. "Begging us," he says, "earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." That jumped out at me in this text. Is that what I'm doing? Am I begging God earnestly for the favor of participation in the work of building up the body of Christ here? Do I see my, like Greg was talking about, is it a responsibility or is it a privilege? Is it an opportunity for me? Am I begging God? Am I asking God? Am I seeking God? Show me. Show me how I can have opportunity to build up the body, how I can have opportunity to serve. What can I do? Where can I serve? Am I begging? I like that concept. Earnestly begging for the favor, for the blessing of participation, of taking part in the building up of the body of Christ. So I'll leave you with that thought. Daryl's going to come up and he's going to describe to us the work that we've been talking about doing together as a body. And so as you listen to this and as we look at the work that we've all agreed or that we're all agreeing to do together as a church, I want you to plug yourself in and figure out how I can beg God for the favor of participation in the work. And you're already doing that by your giving. And that's in the context here in 2 Corinthians 8. They're begging to be able to participate in it by giving generously. You're already doing that. And that's one of the things Daryl's going to be talking about, is the generosity of this group and how, because of that generosity, we're able to do together many things that we would not otherwise be able to do in building up the body of Christ. I'll turn it over to Daryl now.
Jerry's talked about what we've been talking about for a long time, and I think as a congregation, how we want you to hear this. And there have been times when the tone of a talk like this would be different from my perspective. I think Jerry would agree. We're getting up here to chide everybody because you're not doing enough. We don't feel that way at all. Rarely a time when Jerry and I get together riding to Lauderdale, a lot of times, or just meeting, talking on the phone or just talking in person, do we not end up talking about the good that somebody here or a group of people are doing? It's just because it's so obvious. And whenever there's a situation where we're helping somebody through some issue or talking about something we could be doing, it's just so natural to think about, oh yeah, they're doing that. Or yeah, that person is doing that. Or yeah, they're engaged in that. Boy, they're really good at doing that. They've really been encouraging. So I don't want you to hear it that way, especially with me. Jerry's much better at this than I am. But sometimes it comes across I'm being critical. I don't want it to be that way at all. I want this to be encouraging, but I want to use Jerry's expression. We want to storm your will to see how important you are. He just showed that verse in Corinthians and how the weaker, seemingly weaker parts of the body are indispensable or necessary. And as we think through these things, what is it? What is it that I can do in these areas this year? As we're really focusing on what is it I can do this year, what is it I can do right now, next week, tomorrow, today, to be more a part of building up the body of Christ? Because that's what we're all after. That's why Jerry and I are serving as elders. That's why you appointed us to serve as elders, so we could build the body up, so we could be more effective in what we do, so we could challenge each other. That although we're doing a lot, there's more we can do, and there's good things out there we can be involved in. So we're going to talk about a little bit about our vision for 2023, but I bring us back to what we looked at even last year. Every year, it's going to be the same two basic broad things, and that is, how can we grow the kingdom? How can we bring those that are lost and outside of Christ into Christ? And how can we build up those that are in Christ? I mean, it can't ever change from that, because that's the biblical marching orders. That as we think about serving, that needs to be the foundation of every motive, everything we do in serving is, am I growing the kingdom? Am I doing this to help somebody so that one day I can reach them for Christ? That might be how you look at when you serve somebody outside the body of Christ. When you're making an effort to get to know somebody, in the back of your mind, in the back of all our minds should always be, are they lost? Then can I help them so that they're not lost anymore? And so now I'm going to serve them so that I can reach them for the kingdom, so that I can change their eternal destiny because I love them and I love God and I want to do that. And then as we work on helping each other and the things we do as part of the body here in our service is, how can I build up the body of Christ? How can I make Andrew more encouraged? How can I help Robert be stronger? When we teach a class, when we preach, when we call somebody, when we send a card, when we do any act of service, anything, it should be the idea of, how can I encourage you to be better in Christ? That's what it's all about. And so as we think about this next year, if we lose track, let this always get us back on focus, because there's a lot of things involved in that. Sometimes we can get caught up in the thing instead of what we're about. We're about reaching the lost and growing the body of Christ. That's what finally is all that's going to matter, and that's the things that we want to be involved in. And I'll just use another verse in Romans chapter 12. You can turn there if you want, but it's the same thing about what Jerry was talking about, right? The body, the idea of the body. And he says in this verse, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the purpose given to us, let us use them. If you write in your Bible, underline that. Star it. Highlight it. As we have these gifts, let us use them. Let us use the works. Why? God has given us abilities to do things. God has given us, why? Because He created us in Christ Jesus for good works. So what we want to all ask ourselves as we're hearing this is, like Jerry said, how can we use our gifts that differ according to the grace given us? How can we use them? This is not about getting other people to use their gifts. This is about me considering every one of us. How can I use my gifts to build up the body of Christ? How can I use my gifts to reach the lost? That's what we want to be about. In Ephesians 4:16, and this is a New Living Translation. Jerry had it up there during our 2 minutes of quiet time. I just love the way it reads in this regard. He who makes the whole body fit together perfectly. So he's talked about earlier about apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists, and that God's given them those abilities to build up the body of Christ. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. I love the way it says that. What's your special work? You know, I hear people use the term, we're so big into, I guess, the Marvel Universe and DC and how the impact that's had on the culture. So I hear people all the time use a term when it comes to regular things saying, well, that's my superpower. You know, I'm just real friendly. That's my superpower. What's your superpower? You see, in some ways you can think of it that way. In other ways, it's broader than that, because it's not just one thing. You have more than one superpower. You have more than one special work that you can do. What is that? And can you be attuned to saying, I am valuable in the body of Christ, every one of us, valuable in the body of Christ. What is my special work? Why? Because it helps the other parts grow. Do you see what Jerry said earlier? If I don't utilize my special works, if I don't utilize my superpower, then the body doesn't grow like it should. Do you believe that about your life? If you don't, there's a problem. If you're a member of the body of Christ here at Middleburg, and you don't know that, you don't feel like you have a special work, there is a problem. There is a problem in us helping you develop and know that, or there's a problem in you seeing that you have it. But that is a promise from God. Each part does its own special work. And, you know, as I thought about this, I thought, you know, I could name a thousand things right there that so many of you have that are just special works. They're your superpower. Some of you have the superpower of writing cards. There's some other things you can't do. We get so focused on what we can't do, right? We forget what he says is that although some things don't seem like they're as important, 1 Corinthians 12, right? There are some things that are indispensable. They're necessary. Everything that we do, every special work that we have is indispensable to the body of Christ here. So whenever we look at our growth, you know what always is the ceiling to that growth? It's our ability to see our special work, our inability to see our special power, our inability to see our usefulness in applying it. That's always going to be our ceiling. If 30% of the people here feel that and they're working toward that, it's going to cap our growth. If 60% can see that, we're going to grow more as a body. If everybody sees that, can you imagine? So as you sit here today, know, what is my special work here? And what other special work can I be involved in and do? If you don't know that and you're not sure, ask to talk to Jerry and I. Talk to somebody that loves you and knows you. I guarantee you, anybody that you know will say, oh man, you can do this. You're really good at that. Wow, you are so this. But sometimes in our own beating ourselves up, we don't see it in ourselves. And so what this is about is saying, I've got a special work to do here at Middleburg. You see, it's not the church I go to, it's my church, my body, my family. And I have a special work to do in my family. And if I don't do my special work in my family, then guess what? Other parts won't grow. It doesn't matter how much Jerry and I do. It doesn't matter how much certain other people do. If we're not all doing that using our special work, we have to understand some parts of this body will not grow. I can't work hard enough to overcome because I don't have your special work. I don't sit in the same pew you do every Sunday. I don't have the same influence and the chance to influence as you do. I don't have the same superpowers that you do. If you don't use them, the body can't grow. There are some parts of the body that won't grow if you don't use your special gift. Look at a passage real quick. I don't have it on the screen. But in Acts chapter 9, now those of you who are familiar with the book of Acts, you think of Acts chapter 9, what do you think of? Saul, conversion of Saul, right? Some of you were mumbling it in your breast. And it's easy to miss this because that's what we always think of when we go to Acts chapter 9. But I want you to go to Acts chapter 9 and let's start in verse 36. And I want to read there about a lady named Tabitha. And I want you to be impressed with her. Now there was in Joppa, verse 36, a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. She had a special work to do and she was doing it. Wow, full of good works and acts of charity. I don't know, did she teach women's Bible studies? Did she always find women to teach the gospel to? What was she involved in? What was her superpower? What was her special work? Because clearly the saints here, as it's being described, they looked at her as special. Verse 37, in those days she became ill and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. Well, there must be more than that, though, right? But Peter put them all outside, knelt down and prayed, and turning to her body, said, "Tabitha, rise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her. Then calling the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. What was her superpower? So much that they called Peter and said, "You got to get over here. Why? We're going to be deficient in the body here if you don't come raise her from the dead." Wow, what is she doing? Is she reaching the lost? Is she some great teacher among women? No, her superpower is she makes tunics. Really? She made tunics. And it's interesting to study a little bit about tunics, but generally they were the undergarment. They were worn under something else. Not always. But that just tells me that a lot of people could be sitting here in the audience, somebody has a superpower here and they make underwear. And you all been impressed by that. But we don't even know it. And that's good. Do you understand how she impacted people? So much that she was raised from the dead. You want to write in the margin of your Bible, you write in there, "Making tunics indispensable," 1 Corinthians 12:21. Making tunics necessary to parts of the body of Christ. Now I tell you what, I bet a lot of people there didn't even know her. If it was a big congregation, she didn't stand up every Sunday. People weren't up bragging about how well she taught class or how good of a teacher she was or whatever. She was just a lady who said, "What can I do to make this body better?" And she said, "I can do some acts of charity. I can care about people. I can think about people. And I can sew." Chris has that superpower. Susan has that superpower. But you see, it doesn't matter what it is. Is sowing listed in the gifts of the Spirit anywhere? Don't think so. But do you see the point? She didn't sit and say, "You know, there's just a lot of stuff I can't do. I'm a woman." Maybe you're a new Christian. Maybe you feel awkward. Maybe you don't fit in socially with the group as good as some people. Maybe, I don't know, whatever it is. But she didn't say that. You know what she said? "I can do something. I can sew tunics." And it had such an impact on the church there that they said, "We got to get her raised from the dead because we can't have our tunic maker not here anymore." Man, that blows my mind. Of all the examples Luke could have put in there for us, are you willing to be a tunic maker this year? Is there something you can do so that somebody in the body here will grow because of what your superpower is? So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love? You see, the body can always be healthier. And if I'm not doing my part, the body's not going to be as healthy as it could be. All right, let's talk about some specifics. This is what we talked about last year at this time. We said we were going to increase funds for benevolence by $3,000. We were going to increase support for Wilson Valbuena, increase support for Craig Thomas. We were going to give Greg and Jerry one-time gifts of support. We initiated a year ago a preacher training effort that we did. And we set aside $50,000 for an additional evangelist. We wanted to do that because we wanted to look at finding another evangelist. And we were going to start setting aside $1,500 a month in prop for the parking lot. And we did all that. But then as I was doing this morning, so this is kind of how I roll. I'm not recommending it, but this is how I roll. As I'm doing this morning, I said, I feel like Tim Cook giving the year-end financial summary for Apple. Is that all we did this year? Spent money? Now, there's some good stuff on there. We supported the preaching of the gospel. I'm not minimizing any of that. There was a lot of good that came from that. But then I just got to thinking about, you know what? There were some other things we did last year. There were some that were lost that are saved now. And I'm not going to read them all. And if they're not on there, it's not my fault. Okay, I'm just taking that right out. It's the new converts class because they couldn't think of everybody. I thought of a few. Yeah, it's still going to be my fault, right? So I'm just sitting here this morning. It's about 7:30 before my mind finally got to this point. And I'm like, how can I go up there and just talk about money when there's been so much good that's done here? The body's grown. We're better because the Darlingtons are here. They're sick today, couldn't be here. We're better because Kavika's here today. We're better because Emily's here today, and Renee, and Amy, and David, and Tara, and Seth, and others that are members of the families here that have been converted to Christ. We're better because of that. We're healthier. And you know what? Their souls have hope now. And it's because of all of you. Because we could just go through every one of those stories and talk about how people use their superpowers to affect those conversions. And so that's a good thing we did last year. We had new members, that people that moved into the community or people that came here from another congregation. And we had people come to this congregation and said, I want to work with the church in Middleburg and I want to be part of that family because I think I can make a difference there. And we're better because of that. We're better every time somebody comes here and says, I want to come there because I want to work. I want to come there because I think I can do something for that body. The body looks pretty healthy here. But you know what? Because I believe God, I can come and we can come be a part of that and we can make Middleburg healthier. See, that's who we want to come here. It's people who can fill a need that right now, you know, that need's not getting filled as good as it could. We don't have anybody here that's a tunic maker. Maybe I can come and make tunics. Whatever it is, we're better because of that. We did VBS. We've done this thing with the signs all year. We've done driveway evangelism. And we impacted Joey Crolius's life. And he impacted our lives through this preacher training program. There are some of those lost that are not lost today because of what we did with Joey. That should make us feel good. We did some things. We exercised some of our superpowers so that we could do those things last year. We restarted the work in Jamaica. That hadn't gone on for a few years because of COVID. We started that again. The Rogers were able to go. We've done spiritual principles classes. It's involved so many people here. And people opening up their homes and people teach class. You know what some people said? You know what? I don't have a superpower of teaching. I'm not really a good teacher. And I'm not ready to do that. But you know what I've got? You know what superpower God gave me? A place to live. Do any of us have that superpower? And so you know what I can do? I can say, hey, we can have that spiritual principles class in my house. Carlton, you've taught them. How many of them you taught at your house?
None.
Because you know what? Carlton's superpower is over in Lake City. We can't get to it from here. Okay. All right. So do you see... You know how that happened? Is somebody said, you know what, we want to do these spiritual principles Bible class and we want people to do it in their homes and we need somebody to just open up their home and do the class. And there are folks here who said, we can open up our home. And there's some people who've done it in their mobile home. There's some people who've done it in their nice house. You see, it didn't matter. They didn't say, well, I don't have as nice a house as some people do, so I can't use that power. No, you have the superpower. Because that class went on just as good in your mobile home or your trailer as it did in somebody's million-dollar house. We've done that this year. There have been, it's easy to overlook this. We have a Bible, I don't know if you knew this, we have a Bible class every Sunday and every Wednesday here. And it's so easy to overlook that because you know what? Justin has a superpower, he can teach. And Greg's got a superpower, he can teach. And so right now, you know what they both said? They both said, you know what? Greg said, my house is a long way away, I can't use that superpower, and Greg can't sew. So he's like, but I can teach. And so we said, well, we'll have a Bible class that the congregation can come to and be a part of on Wednesday night. And Greg said, you know, I can do that. And so Justin or somebody asked him if he would teach the class on Matthew that he's teaching now. You see, that goes on all the time. We just kind of ignore it, right? We may not participate in it. Let me tell you what. Do you understand when you come to that class, what you're saying to those guys? You're saying, hey, raise Greg from the dead. Here's some material from his class. He's important to the body here. And all you did is you showed up. Your superpower was to come to class. You see, that's powerful. Because you may not have a home. And you may not be able to teach a class. But you know what? Maybe you can do. You can get up early enough on Sunday morning, you can come to class. Now, maybe you can't. I don't know. But maybe your superpower is come to class. That's Miss Edna's superpower. I don't care if there's COVID or whatever. Miss Edna's superpower is I'm going to be there. Now, she can't get here on her own, so she needs somebody with a superpower of how to drive a car. Kathy can drive a car. And some of you guys have. And you know what? Most of us have cars. Isn't that amazing? But what else can Miss Edna do for the body? She can't teach a class anymore. She can't do what she once could do for the body. So what does she do for the body? She comes. Man, that is so important, isn't it? How many of us have said, wow, we're so glad Miss Edna came, despite her ailments, or her fear, or our fear for her? She came. Do you see, that's her superpower. That's her special ability. And has the body grown because of that? Should she ever think that she's not important to the body of Christ here? No. And one day, if Miss Edna passes, because she's pretty tough, and if we hear Peter's in a town nearby, you know what we're all going to do? We're going to run over there and say, you've got to come raise her from the dead because the body here is going to be hurt if you don't raise her. Because she's got superpowers. Much less the private studies Jerry does, obviously, in his work. We shouldn't diminish that. It's what he's being supported to do. But there's a lot of work that goes on, and a lot of you are involved in those private studies that sometimes nobody knows about. But you invest the time and the energy and the effort to do that. Or you attend one just to encourage. I didn't list it. I forgot. See, this is what happens when you do it last minute. Culver's. You know, some of you are like, I can't do much in the body, but on Saturday, you know what I can do? I can go to Culver's and buy a hamburger and sit in Jerry's class. You don't. But usually when Neil does, he does buy a hamburger. Maybe that's your superpower. Maybe you're like, you know, what can I do in this church? I don't have the talent. I don't have the ability. I don't have the strength, whatever. You know what? Saturdays are usually a pretty good day for me. At 10:30, I'm up by then usually, and I can go to Culver's. And I can be there so that Jerry doesn't have to be there alone. Do you understand how that will influence Jerry and other people who are there? You see, that's a superpower. Plus what's going on in the prisons. You know what we've done this last year? And I'm sorry, I knew this would happen, Jerry. You should not have given me the bulk of the thing to do. We've administered discipline this past year. You know what? That's made us all stronger here. It's been painful, but it's made us stronger. Because what we said is we said the body is important. And you can't be a part of this body if you're going to hurt the joints. You have to help the joints. You have to make the body stronger. And when sin comes in and it's willful and it's unrepentant, it hurts the body. And so we've had to make hard decisions over the past year, we as a group, to say there's part of our body we've got to push out because we want them to change. We've done that over the past year. And you know what's happened here? And sometimes we don't even know this. There have been relationships restored with people. People who hated each other. People who struggled on a smaller level in relationships. And those relationships have been stored. Sometimes it was just from a kind word. Sometimes because somebody has a superpower to go up and put their hand on somebody's shoulder and says, you know what? You need to go talk to them. Man, that's a superpower. And some of y'all are so good at that. Hey, you really need to go talk to them. You know, you should really call so-and-so. Man, some of you are so good at that. And we need that because of that. There are relationships that are restored that were broken before. All right, what's our vision for 2023? And this will be starting out talking about financial things, but we took the one-time gift we did with Jerry last year and we just made that permanent. So the $417 a month will be something ongoing in Jerry's support. Same thing with Greg. We've increased his support to the level that with the gift last year would have been equivalent to $300 per month instead of the $100 per month we were providing before. Wilson Valbuena, who's a preacher in Colombia, a small increase, $350 a year. Last year we increased his funding and support and a small increase in that area. We're going to continue to support at the same level Craig Thomas. Again, Justin's got the reports on all these men and can help you find those. I encourage you, learn about it. We're supporting, we're helping these men. You know what our superpower has been for these men? Is we've been giving. Jerry talked about that earlier. Do you realize none of this could happen if we didn't give? And maybe your superpower is generosity. That's one of the things listed there in Romans chapter 12, is generosity. We're going to continue our preacher training effort at the same level as before. We've not yet identified a man, and we're hoping we're going to, but our desire is to again bring in another young man or another man for that effort. We want to continue the same support for the Rogers family. And then this year, because we had it budgeted last year, this year allow some other folks to go. And we think that now that they've gone down there again and things have opened up more, that will be a possibility this year. So some people have already talked to Bert and Crystal about their desire to go to Jamaica for a week or for 2 weeks. So we're going to allow some of that to happen, maybe as many as five people that could go down there. So if you're interested in that, you can certainly talk to Bert. We're going to continue my support in the prisons as you did last year, increasing my support last year. We're going to do that again this year, and I thank you for that. We're going to start supporting Carlton. Carlton and Rosemary have been a part of our group now for, a little over a year, Carlton? And so he's one of those new people that have come here because he wanted to work. And so we've gotten to know Carlton and seen the work that he's done, and we feel like certainly worthy of our support. Worthy of more than we're going to be able to do right now, but we want to be involved in his work in the prisons and in the community over there in Lake City. He writes articles for the newspaper. He does stuff more than just the prisons, and we want to be a partaker in that. This is our vision for this year. And we're going to start supporting Bill Robinson. Some of you might remember Bill. He used to preach at South Jacksonville. He's been at Montgomery. Bill and his family have decided to go to Manhattan and join in with another gospel preacher and really trying to evangelize New York City. Now, you think that's not a big task, right? And so he's got a very detailed explanation of that work that if you're interested in reading it, we can provide it. Jerry's talked to him. We've looked at it, and we want to support him at $800 a month starting this year. Royce Chandler, who is the man that's been helping us with Wilson Valbuena, that he's the interface between many of the several preachers in Colombia and maybe other countries in South America, he's going to step back from his local work and try to do more of that, translating materials, making trips down there still. We want to be a part of that work at $2,400 per year. And we're hoping that we're going to begin a new work with Fred Newman, right? We've talked about that, that we're going to explore that, continue to move forward. It's our desire that that would happen, and it's Fred's desire that that's happened. That's going to be later in the year, somewhere maybe early summer, but that will be $4,170 a month when that starts. We want to continue to save for the parking lot improvements, and actually this year we may have enough funds to make some improvements out there. There's a summary of all those things. And those are all important because those things allow a lot of the other things we talk about. But here's the thing. We can't lose track of this is our vision for 2023. We want to grow the kingdom. We want to convert the lost to Christ. And we want to build up the body of Christ. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. So we're going to save the lost. Well, who's that going to be this year? We read a bunch of those names, right? Who's it going to be this year? You see, you know what that's going to be turned? Who we talk to. Who we influence this year. Do we have a mind when we need somebody new at the ball field or need somebody new at the gym or at work or at school? A friend at school. Who are we going to invite? We're going to have a VBS again this summer. Who are we going to invite to that? That's going to have a chance on the lost. Some of the lost that were saved this past year, it's because people, kids, invited their friends to VBS. Man, that... You see, that's their superpower. What can a teenager do here? You know, I can't do anything. I'm young. Yeah, I'm a Christian. And I can come, and that's great. But what else can I do? Man, you've got a superpower. You can talk to people that would never have a chance to talk to. And you can tell them about this family here. And you can tell them about our commitment to each other and to Christ. You see, the power of invitation, that's a superpower. And you know what? Because some of you teenagers did that, the body of Christ is better today than it was last year. And we appreciate that. Notice it. And you know, if one of you guys passed away, you know what we'd be doing? We'd be finding Peter. Hey, man, we need to raise Lucas from the dead. He has got a superpower that we need here. You know, we need Whitney. Whitney has got a superpower. She talks to people. We got to get her raised from the dead. She helps the body here. And I can just go through and name all of y'all. That's our power, right? We're going to train another young preacher. We want to grow the work in Jamaica, as we've talked about. We want to continue the spiritual principles classes and maybe develop something even beyond that. You know what we're going to do this year? We're going to continue to have Sunday and Wednesday Bible classes. We're committed to that. And we want you to come because primarily those will be about strengthening the body of Christ. And we want you to be involved in private studies. We're going to continue those, and we're going to continue to reach men in the prisons. We baptized last month 8 people at Lawdy. Do you know what every one of you shared in that? If you wouldn't have supported me and Greg and other people that go into the prison at Lawdy, if people like John Raines had not been getting the Lord's Supper together every week and going there and leading singing. And you know what? Mr. John's got a superpower on Thursday night. You know what he does? He comes and sits in the class with Greg. That's his superpower. And it's effective. And he even stays when Jerry and I leave sometimes. That's an inside story. And so, you know what? We need that to continue. So we need to do that. That's our vision for this year. You know what? We've decided we're going to do this year. We're going to discipline when needed. We're not just not going to discipline. And we pray that doesn't happen. We pray there can be small corrections in people's lives and encouragement and those things. But if we have to, we're going to follow what God says about discipline. And you know what we're going to be working to do all the time? Whenever there's a problem between any of us, we're going to work really hard to restore that. And I tell you, Jerry has a superpower in that area. He does. And you know what? Probably none of you will know about some of that restoration. Because it's going to be an undergarment. And you're not going to be able to see it. But I tell you what, it makes the body strong. It makes every joint stronger. And there's those issues that come up among people. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to restore those relationships. Because that's what Christ would have us to do. There's some other things probably I didn't put on there, but you know them. I want to focus on this last part in Ephesians 4:16, the New Living Translation. It says the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I think our body is healthy and growing and full of love, but you know what? We can do more. We can be healthier. And if all of us will use our special abilities and all of us will see our importance to the health and the growing of this whole body, we will be full of love. All right, Jerry.
And that is a superpower. You had my wife crying the entire time. That's a superpower.
All of us.
Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to close the worship service this morning. We're going to stand and sing a song, and we're going to have a closing prayer. And I want to invite anybody who wants to obey the gospel of Christ because they know that Christ died for their sins, was buried and raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and they know that only His death provides the opportunity for them to be saved from their sins, because the wages of sin is death, and they need to die with Christ and allow His death to pay the penalty for their sins. And that is the love of Christ which controls us. That's what motivates us. That's what humbles us. That's what makes us want to be servants because of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what brings us together. That's what unites us as a body. That's the common faith that we share. That's the relationship, the fellowship that we value above all other things. So if there's someone here this morning who wants to obey the gospel, or if you would like the prayers of the congregation for a particular need, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.
How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears, and words cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you. So listen to us.
Let's pray. Father, as we just sang in this song, we pray that you'd listen to our hearts, because our words sometimes are inadequate, especially in a setting like this where I'm trying to lead this for all of us. The words I use, Father, won't express everything that's in the hearts of all of us today. But one thing, Father, we all are in all of our hearts, and that is we desire to please you. And I just pray, Father, that the things that we've talked about today, the vision that we've laid out, is pleasing to you more than anything else. And I pray, Father, that you would bless this body here, this family. It's such a blessing, Father, to be a shepherd here, to have people that are workers in the body, people that supply my every need, people that encourage and work and do things and are diligent and do it because they love you. Now, there's so many good examples here, Father. We're so thankful. But we want to do better, Father. We want to grow. We want to be better people. We want to be more Christ-like. And we just, Father, ask you, help us as we go through this year, that we'll look back and there'll be souls that were lost that'll be saved, and relationships restored, and people who are weak that'll now be strong, and we'll all be better and healthier this year. And we thank you, Father, for the opportunities that you give us to serve you. And as Greg said this morning, we pray that everything we do, Father, flows out of a new heart that you've put in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.